You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This has been a huge week in the electric car business. Electric vehicles have long been kind of the, oh, that's cool, but not a huge market share part of the car business. But now, Tesla says it's about to release its more affordable Model 3 version. And Volvo announced that starting in 2019, all of its new models will be electric or hybrid. Chevy and Nissan are already in on this game. We're going to look at electric cars now, starting with what it's like to own one.
My name is Angelo Logan. On January 1st, 2016, I leased a Volkswagen e-Golf, 100% battery electric vehicle. Now, when I first bought the electric vehicle, I thought that it was going to be seamless and no problem at all. But what I learned very quickly is that you have to be very conscientious about where you're going, how far you're going, where there's charging stations, whether or not you're going to have that distance that you need to go in your battery. A lot of people call this range anxiety, and I got to tell you that anxiety is real. The first month or so that I drove the vehicle, I actually got stranded because I depleted my battery and had nowhere to charge, and I had to call the tow truck. I drive 60 miles both to and from work, and my range is 80. So that means I have 20 miles to really play with, and I have to think about, you know, what meetings I might go to offsite, if I'm going to go somewhere after work, if I'm going to go to dinner or go to lunch, whether or not there's going to be charging stations available at work, whether there's going to be charging stations at all at the places that I might recreate afterwards for dinner or for drinks. But as I unplug the vehicle and I drive off to work, thinking about whether I can use or should use my air conditioning, because that depletes the charge as well. With all the anxiety, and as I come home and I plug in my vehicle and I have to check to make sure that light is blinking to make sure it's charging overnight, I know that I'm going to be able to sleep well that evening because I'm doing my part to reduce air pollution by driving an electric vehicle.
Okay, so let's dig into the production side of this a little and put the Volvo and Tesla news in context. I'm going to do that with Tracy Samilton, who covers the auto industry for Michigan Public Radio. So, Tracy, what's attracting the big automakers to electric vehicles?
It's not the attractiveness of it, I think. It's the necessity. What automakers are seeing is the future kind of barreling down on them in terms of policy. Countries all around the world are pushing automakers to move into electric vehicles. And it's the reality of climate change. They see what we're facing, and they know this is our future. And if they don't prepare now, they're not going to be able to sell vehicles 10 to 20 years from now.
You're in Michigan, the heart of the auto industry. How do what we've always called the big three position themselves now?
General Motors is kind of leading the way here. They have a very, very strong electrification program. They can do pretty much anything that an automaker needs to do right now to survive. Ford is, you know, trying to keep up. Their electrification program is perhaps not as advanced. And then Fiat Chrysler, I'm afraid, just does not have, it takes huge amounts of revenue to run these programs, billions. And I'm afraid Fiat Chrysler does not have that money.
I mean, we look at, say, the Chevy Volt, and, you know, is it doing well? Is it when we kind of look at the landscape of electric vehicles, it seems pretty popular.
You know, in the past 6 months, the Chevy Volt has been the highest volume selling car in the United States among EVs and plug-in hybrid cars. So that doesn't mean that it's doing well in the bigger landscape. You look at the number of Volts that GM sold, it was 10,900 approximately. You know, just compare that to one top-selling crossover, maybe the Honda CR-V, and they sold 187,000 year-to-date. What will bring jobs is volume when more people than are buying them now start to buy electric vehicles. And a lot of things have to happen before that becomes the case.
Well, this brings me to this question about timing, right? Gas prices are quite low. Oil prices are extremely low. So is there a disincentive to push into electric vehicles, or do the companies look past that to the larger sort of future trends?
Well, you know, if you can be like General Motors, you try to do it all. You try to meet this fast growing demand for crossovers. You know, people are moving from, you know, slightly more fuel efficient cars, sedans, into these crossovers. So you try to do it all. You're keeping your profits up. And then you are preparing for the future. So even with gas prices low right now, we don't know what's coming. We don't know whether a future Congress might increase fuel taxes or put a carbon tax on cars with internal combustion engines. And car companies have to be prepared for anything that might happen in the future. And they really do seem to all agree the future is electric.
Tracy Samilton covers the auto industry for Michigan Radio. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
If the car companies are going electric, well, how do you charge yours? And do some of the technical limitations change your behavior? Ethan Elkind is the director of the Climate Change and Business Program at UCLA, and he published a paper on electric vehicle charging infrastructure. He says that right now we don't see a lot of chargers, partly because they're in people's homes, and partly because the demand for public chargers just isn't there yet. But the need is growing, and power companies may be the ones who have to step up.
Well, ideally, there's a business model for it. And just like we don't need to subsidize gas stations, that these are profitable enterprises. But the challenge here is that right now there really isn't as much of a business model as we would hope for the number of charging stations that we need. So certainly some of the money to pay for these could come from individuals who plug their cars in and then pay like they would pay for gas. But there may need to be other ways of getting this infrastructure paid for. So for example, having retail sales on site, just like when you go to a gas station, you might go and, you know, buy a Slurpee or, you know, whatever you might want out of the convenience store right there. That can help pay for the fuel that you're getting. But we're also probably going to need electric utilities to invest in these charging stations as well.
So let's spin this out a little bit. Let's say that, you know, Tesla continues to grow. We've now got Volvo, the Volt. I mean, lots of different kinds of car companies. Could we end up in a proprietary charging system situation? You know, like you can only use an Apple or an Android. You know, is there a agreed upon way to do this, or can companies write their own rules?
Well, you know, we have seen some format wars, you know, kind of akin to the old VHS Betamax battle that happened where when it comes to fast charging your vehicle, not if you're just going obviously through a regular wall outlet or through the 240 volt outlet like a dryer machine, you know, would have. But for the fast chargers, we did see a bit of competition between European, North American, and then the Asian automakers. But I think that format war will end as the next generation of fast chargers come out. But I think, you know, to your point, we're seeing Tesla, for example, kind of replicating that Apple, you know, ecosystem kind of model where you've got your Tesla vehicle and you're only going to charge at a Tesla charger. Although the fact is Teslas can charge at all these public charging spots as well. And there's been innovation to make sure that there's interoperability. But I think most automakers, certainly the ones that I've spoken with, I think they're not interested in getting into the charging business. I think Tesla is a bit of an outlier there. So at this point, I don't think that's a concern, but clearly Tesla is kind of going in that direction.
Wow. If you could design systems to implement across the country, what would you do?
Well, we definitely need more infrastructure, and it's a fairly urgent thing because the electric vehicle market, as you mentioned, Volvo, you know, the automakers are really committed to this now, and battery costs have come down dramatically, you know, almost 80% in the last 7-8 years or so. So the prices of the vehicles have come way down as well. They're basically been cut in half. We want to see the rollout, but we do need more of this infrastructure very quickly. And I think utility investments do make the most sense. Utilities have the capital to do this. They have the expertise to help with that wiring, and they can really bring down the costs of installing these charging stations. That's going to be critical, but there are other ways to bring down the costs as well. We can design electricity rates better. We can cut costs that way, but we can also help with utility investments. And I think those kind of twin approaches could make a huge difference in this country for the vehicle charging infrastructure that we need.
Ethan Elkind is the director of the Climate Change and Business Program at UCLA. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.